The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition of the podcast, and plenty of racing to look forward to. We have National Hunt action from Wincanton. There's also all-weather racing from Lingfield and Southwell in the afternoon. We'll finish the day domestically with an all-weather card at Kempton, and there's a twilight card over in Ireland as well at Leopardstown. So plenty to look forward to. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2:05 PM with Ross Briley, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Mark, and looking forward to Aintree, particularly at the end of the week.
Yes, we'll start with that because the Grand National is only a few days away. Saturday is obviously Grand National Day, and plenty to look forward to, plenty of stories coming out about the race in the build-up to the big Aintree spectacle. And the front page story surrounds last year's third place horse, Tifa 3, and jockey Nick Schofield believes that he can improve on that in this year's renewal.
He's very bullish, isn't he, Mark? Yeah, very bullish. How can you tell whether Tifa 3 will improve on last year's run? I would basically like to ask him. Okay, he's ridden the horse and it's been in quite good form recently, but only the horse can surely tell whether he's going to improve on last year's performance. I couldn't really see the basis for it. I was talking about Tifa 3 last week, and I suggested that, he'd had a fairly gruelling race in the Gold Cup. And I'm not certain whether that was, say, the best preparation for Aintree. It's not all that long ago. And although, several horses have gone on to run well in the Grand National after having a similar preparation in the Gold Cup, quite a few have gone the other way. Nick Schofield, though, very bullish. Personally, I see no grounds, really, for his confidence. The horse, to me, did not stay last year. He's a year older. I suppose he might have suddenly found an extra stamina, but I think he's a bit short myself.
Yeah, he's currently the 8-1 market leader. The jockey says that Tifa 3 has been trained for the Grand National since crossing the line last year, which is interesting stuff. And the fact that he runs in the race on better terms this year is off, I think it's a £3 lower mark, which equates to £5 lower in the weights. If it was just the weight that got to him last year, do you think, are you taking him on then, John, basically?
Well, I am taking on, but I do actually see that point. That's the one sort of serious point. I remember 30 years ago, and I have actually had a couple of Grand National winners since that time, but Hallow Dandy was the winner, of course, under Neil Doughty 30 years ago in 1984, the second Grand National winner for the late Gordon Richards at Greystoke. And the reason why I backed that horse throughout the year, Mark, was because I had watched it run extremely well in the Grand National before, in 1883, the year before, when it had gone right round the outside and finished fourth. And I knew it was being trained for the Grand National in 1884, and he duly won. Rebecca Curtis has probably put Tifa 3 away, especially to go for this year's race. But my point is that basically I think the horse did not stay last year. And I'm past experience has indicated that when horses don't stay in the Grand National, they tend to not stay whenever they run in it.
OK, so stay in the issue then for Tifa 3. I'll just spin through the betting, John. You can tell us any that you like in there. Long Run is the second. Well, we mentioned Tifa 3, 8-1 market leader. Long Run, 14-1 course, second favourite of three with Monbeg Dude and Tidal Bay. 20-1 for Burton Port, Pinot de Ray, Prance de Beauchene, Rocky Creek and Triolo de Lenne. It's in 25-1 for Balthazar King, Big Shoe, Colbert Station and Double Seven. and Shakalaka Boom Boom, and then 33-1 or bigger prices the rest. Which ones are on your shortlist at the moment, John?
Well, Long Run's on my shortlist because I think he's the class horse in the race. I also think he has been trained specifically for the contest, and I think he's had a less grueling preparation than T for Three. I was quite impressed with his run at Kelso behind the specialist Nocara Bow. Stayed well. People indicate that the horse won't get round. I don't see why they're actually saying that. Okay, he's got no experience of the big fences at Aintree, but his rider certainly has. Sam Whaley Cohen's got an excellent strike rate round the Grand National fences. This horse has got class. My view is that with increasing age, he may have lost a bit of pace, but his jumping has become safer. So I think he's got a decent chance Long Run. He's a class horse in the race, and if he gets round, which I think he will, I think he'll be there or thereabouts. Now, we want to strike out. The day before yesterday, on Monday, there was a large bit about Tidal Bay. You know, age not being a worry. Well, I rather tend to agree with that, although the stats don't. Personally, I think he's got too much weight, and also that the ground could be a bit fast for him. But the forecast is, of course, fairly mixed. So I strike out Tidal Bay mainly because of the weight. I also, there's a lot of talk about Mon Big Dude and Zara Phillips having improved his jumping. I thought he ran an appalling trial at Doncaster, Mon Big Dude. After the race, chap said, or connection said, of course he needed the outing. They hadn't said that before, you know, Mark.
No.
They'd been fairly confident that Mon Big Dude would run a big race at Doncaster. I mean, he didn't seem to run any sort of race at all. OK, he's a Welsh national winner. He's got a touch of class. He's got Paul Carberry in the saddle. He clearly has a few credentials, but not for me.
Paul Carberry's been rather bullish, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. There are a lot of chaps been particularly bullish about what I call these relatively short-priced horses. The three I like, and we can't go on forever. First of all, I think Prince de Beauchesne is very much a floater in this contest. William Mullins was interviewed before the Dubai World Cup. He was out there in the Dubai last weekend, and Emma Spencer tried to get him about what he thought he had at Aintree. And the one horse he was actually quite interesting about was Prince de Beauchesne, who he said that, of course, had been extremely well fancied on both the last two occasions at Aintree, but they hadn't been able to get him there because there had been a slight setback. Everything, touch wood, he said, had gone well for Prince de Beauchesne this time round, and this is a horse I think who could go very well, and anything trained, of course, by William Mullins needs to be taken into account. So I do think Prince de Beauchesne's got a big chance.
Okay.
And so the other two I like, before I ask you what you're going to back, is Rocky Creek. I really do think Rocky Creek's got a serious chance. Nophelia, I hope, is going to ride this horse. And when you think about the form that Rocky Creek has shown, he's a class horse in this contest. As a novice, he won three really good novice chases, competitive ones, and he's only run twice so far this year. He was second, excellent second, to Triola Delane in the Hennessy. And I think he was a bit unlucky. He was knocked back at the cross fence when the leader fell there and had to come from quite a long way off the pace. Did well to finish second. Had a slight setback, we're told, as a result of the efforts at Newbury. And has only run once since then. But at the time, I was in the studio.
Yep.
And I thought this is a disappointing run because he was second to a horse that I'd given no chance to at all. But KP had starred the Giant Bolster.
Yeah.
But my goodness, the Giant Bolster was a bit unlucky not to win the Gold Cup, and he finished a very, very close third. So that form has boosted Rocky Creek's run in the Argento quite significantly. Of course, jumping might be the name of the game, as always. But if he were to get a clear round, I see no reason why Rocky Creek should not be involved in the finish. Really good, classy young horse. And he's Paul Nicholls' second string, obviously behind Tidal Bay. But second strings quite often do well. So Rocky Creek would be my major choice in the Grand National. Prince de Beauchesne, I think, is the floater. And for my outsider, assuming gets in, is Alfie Sherrin. John Joe, he's had a magnificent season, and he's a really shrewd, cunning little devil, John Joe O'Neill. Mm. I've known him for many, many years. In fact, I was the first person to interview him in a television studio, and I was warned that all he would say was yes and no, and that was exactly what he said, yes and no, to every question I asked. He was only 16 or 17 at the time. But Alfie Sherrin has been extremely well touted for a number of handicap chases without success this year. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see him run a big race here, and he was around about 40 to 1.
Yes, I'll get you the price on him. Alfie Sherrin is 33 to 1 at the moment. He's number 49 on the list, so he needs a few to come out.
Yeah, he may not get in. Now, what do you think is going to win, Mark?
I did quite like T4-3, but 8-1's a bit short for me. Like I was saying earlier, I think he's waited to go better than he did last year. Although you've almost put me off a little bit, John, with your
people love my view. As I say, hello, Dandy. It's about the last winner I backed Grand National. Quite true. I backed David Piper and Timmy Murphy. I remember when that combination won not all that long ago.
Yeah, what do you make of Baltazar King, John? Currently 25 to 1, won the cross country at Cheltenham. He ran in the race last year. I was a bit disappointed with him last year. I backed him then as well, but staying and jumping is up his street, isn't it?
It is up his street, and I thought he would win the cross country at Cheltenham, and he just did so. I haven't seen the horse very much in his actual sort of movement and so on, but I am told that he's not very big, Mark. And I fancied him last year, and then I think he found the fences were just that little bit too formidable for his physical size. Hmm. I think that is a slight worry.
Yeah.
But were the ground to dry up, then, yeah, he would have been there with a squeak, definitely.
Yeah. I suppose a slight concern as well would be that he had quite a tough race in the cross-country, didn't he? Battling all the way up the home straight, so it's not very long ago, is it?
That is true. Hmm.
But, yeah, and I'd like to see Tidal Bay win it, but I think the stats are all against him, aren't they? He's too old, he's top weight, and...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I really do think so. But, he's a marvellous old horse, and nothing would be more popular than a victory for Tidal Bay.
Mm. Interesting stuff. So just recap your three then, John, and we'll move on to Wednesday's racing.
Well, I think the dangerous floater is Prince de Beauchesne, the Willie Mullins horse. My choice is Rocky Creek. Were to get in, I wouldn't put anyone off supporting Alfie Sherrin as an outsider, but he's got a few to come out to get in.
Okay, let's move on then. The Grand National is on Saturday. The entry starts on Thursday, so plenty to look forward to later on in the week. And we're going to look at Wednesdays, the day before it all kicks off. And John's picked out a few races for us, a couple at Southwell and one at Wincanton. So we'll start on the all-weather at Southwell in their 3-0-5. And this is a Class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs. A few horses here, John, that seem to like it over this course and distance in what's a little bit of a tricky race.
Yes, it is a tricky race, Mark, quite right. I rather like 5 furlong handicaps at Southwell, actually. You tend to get the same horses running pretty well in them throughout the all-weather season. Quiet day, it has to be said, on Wednesday, but I suppose building up for big stuff at the weekend, so you can't complain. Going down the card, we've got Foxy Music at top weight. Decent little horse, Foxy Music. Eric Alston trains, and Jason Hart last year's champion apprentice in the saddle, and I think Foxy Music will win races this year, but I thought he got too much weight here today. Others in the race who appeal a bit, pull the pin were he to run. He's down to run on Tuesday as well. Paul Mulrennan gets on well with this horse and he's got Southwell form. I thought if he reappeared again, he got a bit of a chance. Tony Coyle. A lot of people don't seem to know Tony Coyle, but he's a very, very decent trainer, and he gets lots of winners both on the flat and over jumps. He's got Keep It Dark in the race, and that could go well. But I've narrowed it down, Mark, to two, and my two are Sir Geoffrey, who loves Southwell. And I was so annoyed when he won two outings ago at 12 to 1. Absolutely typical. I had looked at his form carefully and I thought, no, you've gone over the top, Sir Geoffrey. You're not going to win this. He bounced out of the stalls, made every single yard of the running and scored at 12 to 1. And, you know, I was kicking my ankles immediately after that. Scott Dixon took into Wolver last time. I doesn't like Wolver, really. No. And he finished six. You know, were he to be given a soft lead, get out of the stalls really quickly, I could see Sir Geoffrey doing it again. But I thought the best current form is Rambo Wills. Now, John Jenkins has been sending out quite a lot of winners recently on the all-weather. And if he hasn't actually scored, his horse has been running very well close up. He's got Natalie Gemilova on board Rambo Will. And nice to see her in action again. She is, of course, the wife of David Allen. And I thought there was a good course and distance win by Rambo Will last time out. Beat a rejuvenated sprinter, Roe Park, who, you know, is really quite a decent horse when in form and hadn't been disgraced before that when fourth of 10, I think, to Powerful Wind. So I'm going to go for Rambo Will to build on that recent win.
OK. Rambo Will then in the 3.05. We'll stay at Southwell for your next selection, John. We'll go to the 5.05. And this is a Class 6 handicap over a mile and three quarters. And what's caught your eye in this one then, John?
Well, right at the very bottom, the horse has caught my eye, Solace. But just nipping down from the top a bit, I think Joyful Motive has got to go pretty well. Did win an amateur riders race, given a little bit of a soft lead, but he stayed on really strongly and he's come out again quickly. I think he'll go pretty well. Adili interests me quite a lot. Only running, I think, for the second time for Michael Appleby. Andrew Mullen in the side, and was a really quite encouraging second, first time out, second of five over 2 miles, so will definitely stay the trip, and that was behind TJB at Suttle. So Adili for the in-form Appleby stable must have a big chance. I looked at Cape Safari wearing blinkers for the first time, Tim Vaughan's horse, Graham Lee in the saddle. I thought the blinds first time out might make a difference, but he was only fifth at Wolverhampton last time out. I thought he got to improve a bit. Oriet could be a floater, but it's not a horse I trust. And so if we come down to the one I'm going for, who I fancy will be even possibly the outsider of the whole field, and this is Solace. And the reason why I've gone for Solace is because he's trained by Diane Sayer. Now, you know, she's absolutely on fire. She has trained very nearly 30 winners under rules so far this season, Diane Sayer. She had a winner at Toxeter on Saturday, another winner at Hexham on Monday, and she trained a horse of Philip Hobbs's called Bright Abbey to win over hurdles during the current season, and her daughter Emma rode that at Wolverhampton a few days ago or a couple of weeks ago now. And oddly enough, I put it up in the studio and led all the way, won at 25 to 1. And I see no reason why Solace shouldn't go well here. He's very fit from running over hurdles. Was second at Hexham only recently behind Lady of Verona. Will certainly stay the trip. And I think it's interesting that Diane Sayer has sent Solace down for what is a fairly modest race. So I know it's a bit of of a fly on the wall and almost certainly to be an extreme double-figure price. But I thought Solace might be value in that contest.
Yeah, good stuff, John. Interesting selection in the 5-0-5. Then John's going with Solace there. And over the jumps, we'll go for the final selection. Let's look at the 4:45 at Wincanton. This is a Class 4 handicap chase over the extended 3 miles and 1 furlong. And a lot of horses in here, John, that finished runner-up last time. There's quite a few horses in here that like to finish runner-up by the looks of things. But somebody has to win, John. Which one will it be?
Yeah, a bit of a minefield, this, isn't it? But a very competitive race. I thought Trojan Sun could run quite well. This was a horse that Tom Simmons got out last time out to run at Wincanton. It finished third, was beaten about 18 lengths by Kentford Legend. But that one had been winning races, so the form might be OK. Victor Dartnell, very difficult trainer to follow. He's got the top one. Regal Presence ran well last time out, but there tends to be a bit of a habit of the Dartnell horses at the moment. They run encouragingly and then next time they tend to not run quite as well. So I just put a little blank through him. The two I like are West Cork Flash to begin with. Paul Henderson, not to be confused with Nicky of the same name, but Paul Henderson is a West Country trainer who comes into his own really at the summer racing time, and he is booked, I think, Richard Johnson for this horse, which is quite interesting, and is second twice at Fontwell recently. I told you, just beat him last time out, a horse in relatively good form. So interesting jockey booking. I thought West Cork Flash would go pretty well, but I'm going to go for Off the Wall in this contest, David Pipe's horse. I watched this horse run at Exeter recently in really quite a competitive long-distance handicap chase, which was eventually won by Sue Gardner's horse, Miss Saffron, very much a West Country specialist. But there were some really quite decent handicappers in the contest, Mark. And I thought Off the Wall ran well, much better than he had done for a while. And I noticed that David Pipe has brought him out quickly after that, suggesting that the horse is possibly coming to a peak. So although I do respect a number in the contest, I'm going to go for Off the Wall.
OK, Off the Wall then in the 4:45. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, John, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Well, in the 3:05 at Southall, I'm going for Rambo Will. In the 5:05, sticking at Southall rather than going in chronological order, I'm going for a real outsider there, Solace. And in the 4:45 over the jumps at Wincanton, the choice is Off the Wall.
OK, good work, John. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you very much, Mark. I shall be.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden then on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. with Ross Briley, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. We have Wincanton, Lingfield and Southwell in the afternoon. Evening all-weather racing from Kempton and a twilight card from Leopardstown as well. So plenty of racing to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.